this offering is taking place. A lot of times we'll get up and quote some affirmations, but I want to quote these affirmations over you and just ask that you receive these right now, okay? So affirmations like, this is the day the Lord has made. Hey, rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Today's the day of salvation, so don't ponder the things of the past. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come to you. I love that because it really in the literal, new things have come, they are coming now, and they will continue to come. All things new. That's what it means. The Lord's your shepherd, therefore you have everything you need in material and spiritual possessions. So be content with every circumstance you find yourself. Because the Lord is your refuge, a very present help in trouble, and you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so are you. You're born again to a living hope, kept by the power of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been born again by the Word of God. You are complete in Christ Jesus. Your sins were nailed to the cross, so therefore you're sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. And you rule and reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ, God's your heavenly Father, Jesus is your Lord, and the Holy Spirit's your guide. Amen. Are you tracking with me? You with me here? The Holy Spirit is your God. You are a product of His love. Therefore, you have the Spirit of God, and you have the fruit of the Spirit. And that Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit means that you have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience, you have kindness, you have goodness, you have faithfulness, you have gentleness, you have self-control. It's what you got. It's what you have. And the thing is will we take what we have and live with what we have? And refuse to go a different way. You know that your new nature is divine? Do you know that you have weapons, and they're the weapons of your warfare, and they're mighty to God, in God to tearing down strongholds, to cast down every imagination. I'm going to tell you, every thought, every lie of the enemy, you are equipped right now, right here, to cast those things down, because your weapons are not carnal, they're divinely powerful today. We don't war like the rest of the world wars. All things are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's been given to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body, which is you and me, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And He did. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. And in this covenant, and in His word, and with His name, He's given you authority to tread upon all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means will harm you. Yeah. Do you know that you always triumph in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that you have a throne of grace to enter into to receive grace and mercy in your time of need? And you can do that today. You can do that this morning. You can do this right now. Okay, now I want you to repeat the rest after me, okay? I'm going to repeat that one, okay? Repeat it with me. I always triumph in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, from your throne of grace, I receive mercy and grace. I receive the work and the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I remove from myself, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit of God, I remove from myself all oppression and all the works of darkness. I remove from myself all tiredness, all fatigue, all legalism, doubt and unbelief, and any fear and worry, and any sin that would entangle me today. I proclaim my freedom in the name of Christ Jesus. I am free in Christ Jesus. Say it with conviction. I am free in Christ Jesus. You are free in Christ Jesus. You have everything you need right now, right here, to face whatever is right now and right here. Whatever it is. Folks, this is you if you're in Christ Jesus. This is you. This is the church. This is the church of the living God.
Jesus created you for victory, for peace, for life in Christ. He created you for this divine work of God in your life. He has created you for relationship with God through Christ Jesus. He has created you for these things. This is who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's who you are. This is who we identify with. This is where we find our identity. We don't find our identity in the things of this world, the things of this life. We find our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, because this word that I've spoken over you, and this word that we've just quoted is a powerful, powerful word. It is a message, and it's the message from heaven to every single person who would believe in Christ Jesus. We have an incredible, wonderful message of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings life to the world, that brings life to the hopeless, that brings glory to those where there's no glory. And in Isaiah chapter 53, it says this, verse 1, who has believed our message? Or who has believed this word? Who's believing it today? We have a message, he says. And he says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Let me tell you about this message. This message is a word. And it's a word from God, and we find it in Scripture. Let me tell you, you can't find a word apart from Scripture. It is through the lens of Scripture that we know God, that we hear God, that we see God, that we understand God, that we know Him. It's through Scripture. That's why let's talk so much about getting in your Word and being in your Bible. So you hear from God, because you have a powerful message. We saw last week in chapter 52, verses 6 through 10, just real briefly, he says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I'm the one who's speaking, and I'm going to say this, here I am, here I am. Have you ever heard that before? That you're in the middle of stuff, you're in the middle of hardship, and all of a sudden God appears. And you might not hear the specific word, here am I, but you know here he is. It's the God who visits. It's the God who moves. It's the God who speaks. And so he says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring. Watch, this is the word. It's good news. It's a word that announces peace. It's a word of news of happiness. It's the announcement, or a word of salvation. And it's the word and the proclamation that says, your God reigns. He is Lord. Who's believed this message? This message of peace, this message of salvation, this message of freedom, this message of life, because the word is for the captives, the scripture says. The word is for those with chains around their neck. Isaiah 52, 1 through 6, it's to those who are asleep, to those who are not clothed in righteousness. Verse 2, by the way, we preached this last week, and so if you weren't here last week, you can get online and listen to that. It's for those in the dust to rise up, verse 2. It's those who have chains around their neck. They're captive to the ways of the enemy, the ways of the world. Verse 3, you were sold for nothing, but now you'll be redeemed without money. Verse 4, my people went down at first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. So it's for the oppressed. And therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing my people have been taken away without cause, those who rule over them, how? And my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Good news to the captive. Good news to those that are walking not in peace. This message is a word. But let me just say this also. In this passage of Scripture, we find that this message is a person. The message is just not the word, it's the person. And I'm just going to tell you, this verse of Scripture, this passage, if you can't see it, maybe you need to be born again, because this passage points to the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. It points to Him. It is a prophetic word of the suffering servant when He suffered for you and for me so that He might make a way to take the chains off the neck. To set you free, to walk in freedom, to be able to say the things we said this morning. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, I want to just say it again. The message is Jesus. The message is the person. And it's also the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the message of this person. Notice verse 2, okay? So we just saw who has believed our message. We see that it's a word in chapter 52. It's a word to those who are in bondage, to those who are lost, to those who do not know Christ or God. And then he says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And look at verse 2. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot. Who's he? That's Jesus. Jesus grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should even look upon him. He doesn't even have the appearance that we would be attracted to him. In other words, we wouldn't see Jesus passing by and say, oh, look at that good-looking man. Wouldn't say that according to this. A matter of fact, the Bible says it was probably the opposite. Not very attractive in the physical. Nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Watch, verse 3. He was despised, forsaken of men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Now here it is. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Let me tell you something about this passage of Scripture. If you look at just the... Because I had this conversation with a guy this week. And he was a Native American. And one of the things he said was, my identity is in my blood. That's what he literally said. As an American Indian or as a Comanche, that is my identity. And I was wanting to get into the museum. My kids, my grandkids were in the museum already, and John Ann was in there, and so I just stopped and I just listened to him. And I thought to myself later on, folks, our identity is in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You might have a background that comes out of a parched ground. You might have the appearance that you don't have much to offer. And you might think that yourself. You might think that, look in the mirror and say, you know. As a teenager, I look in the mirror and say, thanks a lot, God. You know. You may not think that you have the stately form or majesty or the right pedigree or the right bloodline. Because I want to tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, there is no longer a Greek, there is no longer a Hebrew, there is no longer a man, there is no longer a woman. We stand before Jesus Christ, who is our identity. He is the identity that we've now walk in. The Bible says that he tears down the boundary. And we don't identify. And yeah, he was the Son of Man. And yeah, he had a mom and he had a dad. And yeah, the things of his life was rich. But I want to tell you this. There's some of us who think because of where we were born or what we were born or what our childhood was like or we grew up not esteemed and didn't have a stately form of majesty. I want my identity to be in Jesus Christ and his blood. Do you know you sang, his blood runs through my veins? It's who we are, folks. And I look at this passage of Scripture and I say, oh God, my identity be defined first and foremost by my earthly origin. Is that right? Defined first. Yeah, not defined first as and foremost by our earthly origin, our appearance, or even our skill set, or even our education, or even whatever else we think that we don't, there's no way we can be equipped to do what the disciples did. You know what Paul said? He said, listen, I know there were not many noble, not many mighty. Matter of fact, the world looked at so many of us and said, they're fools. They're uneducated. Listen to the way they talk. I want to tell you this. Find your identity in who Jesus is. And the only way to do that is to get around Jesus' people and to get to Jesus' word and to figure out and to believe who he says you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then gather around you people who believe the same way so the other mess doesn't get onto you. Because I want to tell you, the mess wants to get on you. It wants to get on you and lie to you about who you are and who you're not. But I want to tell you this. You are the right, I said it there, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is first principle. Our identity is not defined first and foremost by our earthly or family origin, parents, or skill set. Now, I'm going to say this because I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we throw all that away. You know, my dad died 7 weeks ago. I like being a Fritcher. And it's okay to like that. But listen, there's a new nature in my heart. And there's a new nature in your heart when you come to Christ. And let me tell you, it's just, we're not defined by that first and foremost. We're appreciative of our family. We're appreciative of where we live. We're appreciative that we're in the country that we live in. Please hear what I'm saying. We're a grateful people. But we will not find our identity in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is sufficient. He showed this by when he became this Son of Man. So the message is the person of Jesus Christ. He is Jesus. He is the man. But I want to tell you, he's also Jesus, the righteous one, God's servant, the Son of the living God. And when he comes into the world, John says it. He says, listen, the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I know we've talked about this in the last few weeks, about who Jesus was. I mean, when Jesus was saying, I'm the Son of God, he was making himself out to be God, and that's why they wanted to stone him and kill him. That's why they wanted to stone him and kill him. He is God in the flesh. And the Bible says that this, if you look through from cover to cover, there is an assignment, there is a word, there is a work of this great man, God-man, Jesus Christ. Now, just a little doctrine here. We believe he's fully God and he's fully man. Do you understand that? I don't understand that. But I do say amen with you. Because that's what God says. That's what we believe. Fully God and fully man. Now, it was God. He came into the flesh, dwelt among us. And then this passage of Scripture will share with you what his work was, what he did. Now, I want you to notice verse 11, just on the screen, real brief. As a result of the anguish of his soul, God will see it. He'll see the cross, he'll see the blood, and he'll be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. And watch, he will bear their iniquities. He will bear your iniquities, is what he says. And that's what this supper is going to be all about. This supper is about God bearing your iniquities, forgiving you of your sin, you having the ability and the power now to walk this life out for the rest of your life. And it's a great promise, because when we come to this table in a few minutes, what you're saying is I believe this word. I believe who Jesus is, I believe what he did, and I believe what he's doing in my life and what he'll continue to do. That's what you're saying when you take this meal. But you're also saying, you're making a renewal to our great God, that I'm going to walk after you and I'm going to follow you, because this is a new covenant meal. And covenant always means I will be one with you and you will be one with me. And this is the reminder of that today, that we are one in Jesus, that he is in us and we are in him. Matter of fact, the Bible says that's the hope of our glory, Christ in us. The hope of glory. And that's what we're proclaiming when we proclaim the Lord's death, when we partake of this supper. The death of Jesus, who he was, and what he did. Now, I want you to notice what it says. He says, verse 4, first thing he says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Now, did you hear that? He bore your grief on the cross. He bore your sorrows. He carried them. As we're esteeming him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, while he's the one despised, while he's the one, the man acquainted, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Do you know why? So he can identify with you and take all your pain away. All your pain away. All your grief away.
all your sorrow. 2,000 years ago, he carried your sorrow away. Whatever has brought you sorrow, whatever has taken place in your life, Jesus says, I carried that grief with me. Just like we'll see in a minute, he bore our iniquities and our sin. Whatever sin you've ever walked in, the Bible says he carried it away. But I want to tell you this, he carried your pain. He carried your pain. He carried your emotional pain. I'm seeing this. I've seen it for 40 years. But I'm seeing it so much more distinctly now. Of grown men and women who are still sorrowful about some of the events of their life. And let me just kind of, maybe you can relate to this. It's the 50-year-old who lost his mom at 10 years old and walks in fear of losing those he loves. It's those at any age who were verbally, physically, or sexually abused by those closest to them. A father, a mother, a step-parent, a teacher, an uncle, an aunt, a sibling, a coach, a church leader. Something that brought you pain. It's the 35-year-old whose father was absent. Or the 45-year-old, or the 50, or the 60-year-old, the 70-year-old, the 80-year-old person whose father was absent, who was not there for them. It's the 28-year-old whose parents separated, divorced when he or she was 10, or 28 for that matter, or for 40, at 40. It's a wound. It's a sorrow. It's a grief. It's the painful scar of adultery at any age for anyone who's close to that couple. It's just a pain. It is a sorrow. It is a grief. And I want to tell you, it's okay to name it like that. It's okay to say. Matter of fact, you need to name it. This is a sorrow of my life. It is a grief of my life that my dad wasn't in my life. That they walked in adultery and they separated and divorced and I was raised by somebody else other than my mother and my father. That is a wound. And it's okay to say it, and it's okay to hurt with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's okay. But I want to tell you, Jesus comes so you no longer identify with that anymore. You don't find your identity in your pain. You don't find your identity in the things people have done to you. But that's what we do. We carry it with us. And when all along, God carried it. He took that away. He took the, well, yeah, I know the circumstances. They don't change. But I want to tell you what does my response to those circumstances. Because I will no longer be defined by what happened to me as a child. There's some of you in here today that you've got to admit that you've got a wound. And it may be the source of your anger and your outbursts of anger. It may be the source of your unforgiveness. It may be the source of you just trying to run hard after anything you can get and anything that you can count in a legal way, in a good way, in a great way. But you just got to keep running hard and keep running hard. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You know, I was on the in the Indian reservation this week, and I see the pain in a race. And I see the rejection, and I see the hurt, and the things that some of our friends have gone through, who have just gone through it. And you know, I see that pain, and I see it, but I want to tell you this, Jesus came to take the pain away from a whole race. Amen? A whole people. Because you heard this from me, right? I talk about the God-shaped hole in your heart. But I want to tell you, there's a God-shaped hole in nations. There are God-shaped holes in tribes of people, in tribal people all over the world. They're God-shaped holes. And oftentimes, especially in tribal or minority peoples all around, there they get an abuse, they get abused, they get hurt, they get rejected. We walked this place John Ann and I and this fella that walked with me, walked with us, who invited us, had come into our church 20 years ago. And he said, I walked into a place where I felt at home. I walked into a place where people said, what I felt, they said to me, hey, you're one of us. And I said, wait, we're one of you. We're one of you. 80-year-old man weeping over the reception of a people that do not look like him and sometimes don't think like him, but accepted and loved. Listen, there's whole wounds. Honey, nation with a wound, right? But we can do that. We can just say any, I'm just telling you, any tribal, any unreached people group. I can say that. Listen to me. Listen, the problem with America is it's a God-shaped hole. It's a God-shaped hole. And we got to quit stuffing it with stuff other than God. And we can all be guilty of that today, can't we? We can. In our comfort, in all our freedoms and all that we have that we are grateful for, that we're blessed. Hear me. But like I said this to the elders this morning, but never meant to worship. Never meant to worship. What about the awful words spoken to you by a parent, a sibling, a teacher, or anyone else in authority over you? Maybe you were 8, you're 9, you're 10, but somehow you're still defined by that when you're 40 and 50 years old. Jesus carried that wound. He did. The gossip, the horrible words of a boss or a coworker or a very close friend, where it just hurts your soul, it hurts your heart. And what you did, you took offense. And then you just continued to nurture it, and you nurtured the wound, and you nurtured the sorrow, and you nurtured those things, and all of a sudden you became angry, and you fed the anger, and then you became bitter and unforgiving, and all of a sudden you're a mess. When Jesus came along to say, I take this wound away. Name it, folks. Just name it. Just be okay with being able to say, this is a wound of mine. And you say, well, what do I do with the wound after that? There's only one way to make sure that you're walking in forgiveness and you've totally released the person that caused you the wound. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief, what's the first thing he says? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's the first thing he says, the wounded. You think Jesus was not wounded? Jesus was wounded. He was rejected. We just saw he was not esteemed. Reject it. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. It is this absolute total choice of mine that I will say, I forgive. I release you. And will no longer take into account this wrong suffered. It's this power that God gives to us because it's the word, it's the message, it's the person of Jesus. I think about the sorrows and the griefs and the devastations brought on by our own decisions and our own sins. It was our fault, nobody else's. And I'm suffering the consequences of pain and sorrow. But guess what the good news of peace is? Guess what the good news of life is? The good news of happiness is? I carried all that away. I bore it on my body. I bore it and I took it away. Matter of fact, he said, I suffered outside the gate. I took it away. I took it away from the heart of where I live. I took it from your heart, and I take it away even now. And the question is, will I believe that? Because when I come to this table today, I'm going to say, Lord, your body availed. It availed. It carried my sorrow away so that I walk out of this place no longer defined by what happened to me. Because I'm free. I'm healed. Maybe there's some things that I'm talking about that you need processing. You need to talk to somebody about. Maybe it's something that can't happen right here, right now, today. But something that says, Mike, I've been hurt and I've been carrying it since my divorce. I've been carrying it since the adultery. I've been carrying it since the abuse as a 10-year-old. I'm carrying it since I was 8 years old when I saw what I saw or what I did or I experienced what I experienced. I'm still carrying it. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to be yoked to that anymore. You don't have to carry that anymore. Jesus carried it. Surely
He bore our grief and he carried our sorrow. I want to stop here for a moment. I want you to go into prayer with me just for a moment, okay? Just for a moment. We're not moving to the Lord's Supper yet because I've got a couple more things to say. I just want you to think about this just with prayer. I want you to ask God right now, Lord, is the root of my sin and my stronghold, is it a wound? Just ask that. What I've been dealing with all these years, is this a wound? Is this a sorrow that I've never gotten over? And I was 8 years old, I was 9 years old, I was 10 years old, and all of a sudden, I find myself at 30 and 40 and 50 and 60, and I'm still suffering, and I'm still in angst, and I'm still struggling. I want to tell you what God wants to do today. He wants to take that 10-year-old little girl and that 10-year-old little boy and bring them to the place right now, right here. Healed. Healed. Simply because we believe in this wonderful message that he carried that sorrow. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you'd come right now, Holy Spirit. And as people who are bold enough to say, that's my sorrow, that's me, will come right now to be able to say, but Lord, this is connected. So right now, in the name of Jesus, by an act of my will, I choose to forgive and release right now and receive the healing power of God so that the wound, so that the sorrow that's already been carried away right now, right here, I'm experiencing what God already carried away. Lord, I pray this for your people. I pray that the chains would fall right now, right here, because we've chosen God and we've chosen his way today. And I ask in Jesus' name for freedom so that we can walk out of this place free from all that stuff of the past. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Second principle, we've been talking about it. Our identity. Listen, our identity is not defined by what caused us grief or brought sorrows at any point or time in our lives. You wake up one day and say, man, I've been fashioned by this. I've been formed by this. I've been identified by this. And just, you know, every other day I say something about it. Or every other day I it's on my mind and I get this pain in my heart for it. I want to tell you, your identity is not defined by that. It's defined by the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago. See, the God-man Jesus, despised and forsaken, a man of sorrows and grief, bore our griefs and carried our sins. But let me tell you, carried our sorrows. Well, let me tell you, he not only bore your sorrows, he bore your sin. Look at verse 5. He was pierced through for our transgressions. Pierced through. I mean, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about the two nails that hit the hands or the wrists, the nail that hit the feet that went through both feet. He's talking about a sword. I think he's talking about the crown of thorns pierced his brow. He was pierced through for our transgressions. For every sin. Every sin. Notice our iniquities. Next, the chastening or the whipping, the beating for our well-being fell upon him. And by that whipping, we're healed. By the scourging, by the whip, we are healed. Now, I'm going to say this to you today. And I'm just going to say to you what I read when I looked at this passage of Scripture. He says, by our wounds we're healed. And you know that word grief? Do you know what else it can mean? It can mean sickness and disease. I'm sorry, but that's what it says. And I'm not saying that we're all going to go out of here healed today. But I want to tell you this. He covers it all. He covers it all. I can't explain it. I can't tell you how it happens. I don't have a little box. I'm sure you'll find somebody here who's got a little box about how it's supposed to work. I don't. But I want to tell you, that's what it says. And it may be this life, but I'm going to tell you, it's definitely the next life, right? Amen? You have new bodies and everything, right? It's the cross. He got whipped. He got beaten for your wounds. And I'm telling you this right now. I just believe this with all my heart. Look, I've been dealing with some physical issues since January, okay? Since January. And they're just a pain in the neck. And that's not what the pain is, okay? It just is. But I want to tell you, every wound I've ever had as a young boy, as a young man, as a man moving past middle age now, God has taken away and healed. And I'd rather deal with 8 months of a physical ailment than the rest of my life with what I've dealt with before, these wounds. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you, He does this. He does this by His great blood. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's the blood. He bears it, and then by His blood, He covers it. He look, all verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned His own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He didn't open His mouth like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shears. He didn't open His mouth. By oppression and judgment, by oppression and judgment, He was taken away. And as for the generation, His generation who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, for watch this, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due, to whom the stroke was intended for. He bore your pain and your sin in your place. Period. And we saw in verse 11 in the very opening time together is that we'll look at 10. The Lord was pleased to crush him, put him to grief. If he would render himself a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He'll prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And as the anguish of his soul, God will see it. And watch, he'll be satisfied. Why? Because it's the perfect sacrifice. Because the blood of bulls and goats can never take away the sin. But our great God's sacrifice, the Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that in the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. He said, take this, eat it, and eat it in remembrance of me. And he took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember these things. Remember them in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow in prayer. And Stephen, would you come on up? I've asked some elders and a couple of other couples to come up. Could you come on up and get placed, please? Just a few minutes, if you're new to us, we're going to ask you to come to the table, pick up a piece of bread, a cup. You may be here with friends. You may be here with your spouse. You may be here with your family. You'll take that bread and you'll take that cup and you'll kind of just move to the side a little bit, or you'll come back to your place and then you'll take it together. We're not going to take it all together. You'll take it together with whoever you're with, or if you're by yourself, okay? It's a great opportunity, especially for our families today, just to speak into. It's a great opportunity for couples as well. If you're single, find somebody you're with. Come on down with them. You can come with my family. I think I got a few family members with us today. This is for you, right? This is broken for you. It's the blood that was spilt for you. And I know that you might hear just a couple little things that I've already shared, but I want you to come to this table today with this great conviction and faith that it's for you. Okay. And when you take this bread, I want you to remember he bore your sins on his body. You know, the New Testament speaks of that in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we're healed. Anything and everything that just causes us to walk in unrighteousness is taken away so that we can walk in the righteousness of God. So this is not some ceremony. It is an observance, but it's also a commitment. The Bible says that those who come to this table in an unworthy manner are guilty. And he says that's why some of you are sick and some of you are hurting and some of you sleep, because you came to the table in an unworthy manner. I want to tell you this. The way you come to this table in a worthy manner is that you believe what we're talking about today with all your heart, with this conviction that he bore my sin on the body so that I might go from this place and live for righteousness, to live for him. Second, he took away your sins. We've talked a little bit about that, but in the New Testament, 1 John 1:29, the day he saw Jesus coming to him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then he bore our grief and he bore our sorrow. When I take this today, that's what I'm believing, that he took all that away and he suffered for me. In a moment, you'll also take that cup and you'll drink it together and you will, hopefully you'll believe that this is the cup of the new covenant. Old covenant based upon blood, a bunch of laws. Blood of bulls and rams and pigeons and doves, and but this is the blood of the Lamb of God. And when you take this cup today, you're believing not just that you accepted Jesus into your heart, you're believing that what the body did and the blood did for you veiled so that you could receive Jesus. And I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that by the blood of Jesus, you're cleansed. By his blood, you're forgiven. By his blood, you have free access to him anytime, any place. You don't have to come to this building to find God. You can find him in your car. You can find him in any bedroom or any room in your house. You don't have to go before any man to find him. I mean, he's available. That's because of the blood. He tore the veil, the Bible says. The veil was torn. And then we have access to the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the great high priest, Jesus. That's what this blood does for you. Blood did for you. Bible says you've been made holy by the blood of Jesus in Hebrews 13:12, and you've been declared right with God by his blood. You've been redeemed. God purchased you with this blood. Not this blood, but you know what I'm talking about. With his blood. And then I'm going to tell you this last thing. Bible says they overcame him because of the what? The blood of the Lamb. It's by this blood you find victory today. You find your healing. You find your freedom. You find your identity. You find everything that you are in Christ Jesus. So when you come to this table and you take this bread, believe. Believe what he bore. When you take this cup, believe what he made available for you. Right now, right here. Oh God, right this moment, I'm just so overwhelmed with your great love for us, that you would die on a cross for the sins of the world, for every age, for every day that you tarry. And I ask God that we come to this place in a holy, holy moment, and that you'd be honored, and that you'd be glorified, and that you'd be lifted up. Come, Lord. Come, bless this time. Bless it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Before you come,
If there's something that God has brought conviction to your heart that you need prayer for, these folks are up here to pray for you, okay? Or you might need to come to the altar. There's something that you say, oh, before I come to the table, I want to make something right. Now, you don't have to do that with these folks. You don't have to come kneel. You can do it right where you are. Some of you will come immediately, and that's awesome. Some of you might tarry a moment. But I'm going to tell you, let this moment, let God in this moment have his greatest impact on your life yet, because you've come to this table. You know, the Bible says when you come to it in an unworthy manner, it's why some of you are sick and some of you are asleep and there's trouble. I believe the opposite. Come to this table like we're talking and let's watch God work. Let's just watch God work, because this is what God is all about. Amen. Amen. You come and you come when you're ready in the name of Jesus.